Blog Talk Radio.
This is the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Stay with us as we bring honor and glory to Jesus, our Savior, Deliverer, and Healer.
She started to cry and thought he ain't coming home. She was tired of the lies, tired of the fight, but she didn't want to see him go. She fell on her knees and said, I haven't prayed since I was young, but Lord above, I need a miracle. Well, no matter who you are and no matter what you've done, in your hour of desperation, know you're not the only one. Praying, Lord above, I need a miracle.
I'm your host, Ken Burrow, and I'm excited about today's program because a very good friend of mine from Plano, Texas, Apostle Charles E. Ellis, is here, and he's going to share some wisdom and the Word of God with us this morning. Good morning, Apostle. How are you today?
Man, God, I'm great this morning. You know, it's another day the Lord's made me to see. I'm doing fantastic this morning. How about you?
Well, I'm healthy, happy, terrific, can't complain any way, shape, matter, or form. Bless going in, bless going up. Thanks for asking.
My God, that was a quick one. That was a quick one.
I've been here 35 years, so I've got it pretty well memorized.
Amen.
I call it a positive profession. You know, because you and I, but we both know that there is power in the words we speak. So
definitely.
Positive profession, you receive positive professions. Like I said, I'm healthy, happy, and terrific. And the truth of the matter is, I am healthy, happy, and terrific. Going on 67 years old, I don't take any prescriptions, and God seems to just give me more and more energy every day. I'm feeling better this week than I did last week. Because God is God. He will sustain us in our times of need. He will supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. And I believe it's 2 Corinthians. Maybe I might be wrong. Yeah, I am. But I believe it, the verse I'm thinking of is we walk by faith and not by sight.
You got plenty of that. I mean, you got plenty of that. I mean, I look at your work every day. I mean, when I'm constantly moving to different areas of the country and the nations, different suburbs, I hear the word. I hear the spirit ringing in the spirit. I hear you in the atmosphere. So, so that lets me know, the power of God is moving within, all around, and up and down the work you're doing. So his hand is in it. Whenever his hand is in it,
definitely.
What happens?
I have some pretty good friends that sometimes help me out and minister with me. And Pastor Mike Johnson, he's an amazing man of God. He has, for the last 58 months, produces a program live on Facebook, normally twice a day, for 58 months, nonstop, never misses a day. And I look at him and I go, oh, Lord. I do about 5 programs a week, and I'm like, I don't know how he does that, because that's amazing, but he does it. And people love that man. He's highly gifted. He was on my program yesterday. And after the program, he said, you and I have more in common than either one of us realized. What we have in common, it's the same thing you and I have in common. We trust the Holy Ghost to direct us and guide us. Because without the Holy Ghost, we're nothing.
Well, that's what the word says. With him, you can do nothing. And that's him basically speaking,
And with him, nothing is impossible.
Amen.
So,
with God, all things are possible. Amen.
Yes, it is. This past Friday, I got that phone call that no parent wants to get,
Yeah, I heard that.
Son is in the hospital. They cannot revive him. He's unresponsive. That puts a little fear in you.
Yeah, it does.
Because you don't want you don't want your children to die.
I immediately went into prayer when I heard that. I immediately went into prayer in my secret place and began to pray on your behalf with your son. I immediately knew that.
I did too, and I immediately heard he's going to be okay.
Yes.
Boom.
Yes.
Immediately there's peace. Boom. Immediately there's confidence. And when he said he's going to be okay, he's going to be okay. And today my son is still with us. He's still alive. And you know what?
Strong.
He's okay. I have learned to trust that still small voice. I'm facing some mountains right now. In my 35, 36 years of walking with God, I've seen a lot of mountains. Just get crushed and fall away. I never knew how it was going to happen. But I do know one thing that happens. So that same still small voice told me just this morning, it's going to be okay.
Yes.
And I have to believe that. That's one thing. As Christians, we have to, I really believe we all need to learn this. I'm not speaking to you because I know you already learned it. For those who are listening, in Hebrews 11:1, it says, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Actually, it says, now faith is the substance of hope, of the substance of things hoped for. Faith is thou. Thou faith is.
Yeah,
faith
you gotta have
is
faith.
Thou.
Yeah.
And, you know, people say, well, you know, you walk around with blind faith. I was like, well, faith is blind.
Yeah, yeah.
You can't look with human eyes and have faith.
No.
You got to look through the heart of the Holy Ghost. And
that's
faith.
What the Holy Spirit told you, yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, the one string that we have that we can hold on to and know, not just believe, but know that God is going to move is our faith. Because in that same chapter of Hebrews, it says, without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Yeah.
So don't take a lot to figure out if you can't please God without faith. To please God, you must have a lot of faith. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that's a natural sense. When you look at it from a natural standpoint, you can just look at it in a carnal sense, you know. You know, it's telling you, the only way you can get to this point, you got to have this. It's like when you actually buy an appliance piece from the store and you get instructions, and they tell you, if this is going to work, then you got to have this. If you don't have that, you're going to fail in between, and then you're looking at failure in the product all along. So a lamp can only do what it's designed to do unless it's got an outlet or source. That's pretty much, you know, just plainly speaking, he said, without faith, anything that you're asking me for, it's an impossibility and a fact that it won't work unless you understand the hope of what you can't see is revealed spiritually of what you can see. So you got to have a focus on what you already can see, manifesting as your faith builds. If your faith can't build on that, it's like a project. You got to have a vision of whatever you're going to have and know that the plan of God is up in the middle of it, and it's going to be whatever he said it's going to be, but it's going to be your faith. And faith is not easy. It's not easy. A lot of people say faith. You know, I mean, that we throw it around, but I guarantee you, if you walk, some of the walks I walk and some of the walks you walk, I mean, people can toss it out there, but deep down inside, everybody's fighting the good fight of faith because it's something that from the human standpoint of view, we're trying to imagine to see what is God performing that I can't see? And my mind has got to be up to the perception of my retina to know I can see it, but how do I believe it? God said the only way you could do it is by faith. What I produce in your life is things of extraordinary vision and prophetic announcement, meaning you can't see it, but it's going to take you to have the opportunity to know and understand that it's there, even though you can't see it. And as your faith grows, it produces and manifests what he said. That's why he tells you in the book of Numbers, he's not a God that he should lie. He's certainly not a piece of a flesh, man, that he should have to repent. Commandments of God's word has been given to bless. Now, he made that very clear. I have, not men, not me, not you, I have been given a commandment to bless you. He said, I can and I will. Now, that's his word. I will not reverse it. So in order for me to get that in my spirit, I got to regurgitate it over and over again, despite of what I see from the physical standpoint of view. If God said it, then he's going to produce it. My job is to walk through the process of whatever it may be that will mold me and shape me and put me in that position to believe that his word won't go void. It's going to accomplish everything that he said it would do, and it'll do that very end. Faith is not easy for a person, you know, through my athletic career. You know, when you're in a crowd of maybe if anybody ever been in an arena or crowd on my pro day views and my college debuts, the arenas would be filled with 300,000 or 400,000 people. I mean, you know, you got 3,000, sometimes 3,000, maybe 4,000 people in the stadium, sometimes up to 18,000 people in the stadium. Huge stadium events. You know, you got people on hand that can be there in those stadiums, and you got these little guys on the field following a playbook from what a man gives you, and the crowd can be so enormous and so loud that you got to really have what it means to have a tentative ear. Because if you ever had a roar of 300 people or 400 or 2,000 people, it's amazing what a voice can do when you're in that field and in that dome. It will literally pierce your eardrums. So you got to really hear the call that's being called. And in this season that we're in, there's a lot of chatter in the air. There's a lot of things that's going on. There's a lot of stuff that's evolving around us. It's a circus. And the word of God declaring, even when you speak with Haggai, Zephaniah, these guys are prophesying and speaking to the priest and letting them know, you're going to have to hit a playbook if you're going to call your people to run in the right direction. You must make sure you call the right audibles, you make sure you call the right play, because the routes are being ran. Some people are veering off the routes and missing the play. but they're easy to get back on track. Faith is something that you really don't have to. It's not an easy run. It's a lot of chatter in it, and you got to be careful of the things that are floating in the air. Scrapnel will kill you quicker than a blast. I think Dr. Kickhart talks about that in some of the messages he had talked to me about. I mean, he talks about that stuff. Scrapnel is one of the main things that kills a lot of office work, because when people begin to accolade you and promote you, you lost the vision, because you begin to look at them rather than look at the source in which your vision is coming from, and you can't do that. Though you walk alone, God is yet with you. Power and authority has been given unto me, he said, both in heaven and earth. That's Matthew 28:18. Now, his commandment was for you to do what he taught you to do and go out, baptizing them in the name, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. He never said about color, race, creed, or any kind of physical identity. He said the Holy Spirit is going to lead you into doing the work in which I perform you to do. Jeremiah says it very clear. In you, you were designed to be a prophet before the nation. In this season that we're in, the Word of God said there's going to be a heavy separating from the wheat and the tare. In the last days, there's going to be a lot of audible voices out there that God said, I never said it. But they're going to be prophesying to him, thus say the Lord. But God said, prove me by my work, and I'll show you the hand to move in your ministry. I'll show you the hand to move by my voice. That's why I look at your ministry, because I see the results. When I see people being healed, people being transformed, those are things that come for confession of what God able you to handle, which the blessings come through your hands, not through the mouth of a man. We're vessels. We're just only to call the play in what God sent from the kingdom. We're conduits. Whatever the size of your conduit is, that's according to your obedience. It's not because of your name, not because of my name, not because of my title. It's based on my obedience. In this season, obedience is the most powerful thing that's going to be operating in the earth in this time. Not the apostle, not the prophet, not the evangelist, not the pastor, not the teacher. It's the word obedience. We can follow that. Then the rank of names and titles, whatever you want to call yourself, will come to fruition, because it's going to prove in the source in which it comes from.
That's so true. You know, obedience is better than sacrifice. And, you know, over the years, I've had many titles applied to me. For a long time, people would call me Prophet Ken. Hey, Prophet Ken. I'm like, I'm not a prophet. You know, I might get a word of knowledge and be able to read your mail like it was yesterday's newspaper, but that does not make me a prophet. You know, and then people started calling me apostle. And I never liked titles in the first place. Okay.
Yeah.
Because I've always believed, and I still believe, that we who are called by God at a time such as this, we are supposed to be servants, not to be served.
Amen.
And unfortunately, I've been to a lot of churches where the so-called apostles and prophets are lifted up. You know, they sit on their golden thrones up on the platform.
Oh, my God.
And that just has always irked me, you know. John Eckhart, you probably heard of Apostle Eckhart.
Most definitely.
Back in the 90s, he laid hands on me and prayed for me. He looked at me, he said, I don't know what God's going to do for sure. He said, but God definitely going to do something with you, son. And he had invited me to his church in Gary, Indiana. Mm-hmm. And I said, okay. And I showed up, and he was insisting that I went up to sit on the platform with him. And I said, John, I love you. I said, but I'd rather sit down here with the rest of the people.
Amen.
So, because I never, ever want to be lifted up. I want to lift up others, you know. It's really, to me, the way I think about it is, we who are leaders in the church today, we must come to an understanding that we truly are servants. It's not about us. It's all about Jesus. And I would rather take somebody out of the audience that nobody knows and say, you go up there and sit. Enjoy it for a minute. And I've been that way for a long time. I've made a few pastors mad over there for not going up. But I prefer to be with the people. I want to be fed as they're being fed. I want to serve instead of being served. You know, and it's been working for me. That's all I can say. That whole attitude.
You know, Apostle James Kickard, you know, I mean, him offering you up, you know, I always was told, you know, and I'm quite sure, you know, he's a very anointed and powerful man of God. So, I mean, it's never going to be for showmanship, but I see that in his heart, period, about just his lifestyle.
Absolutely. And, that's my baby brother you're talking about.
Yeah. He offered you up in something, you know, at least he offered you up. He wouldn't offer you up based on anything else in terms of title, but, you know, you refused. I mean, it's not nothing. It wasn't a slap to him. He just wanted to make sure that you're offered in this house. You can come up here, you know, because, I mean, it's better to be offered up. You know, sometimes we go into houses and we go into ministries, and, you know, like you, I see it a lot in the ministries. Names have been exalted at a high level. And I think about Ananias.
Come on now.
I think about Ananias. Just a man of God, I mean, just at the Church of the Way. And I was thinking about the kind of power he was carrying. The Word of God came to him. He was just a humble servant, not being an apostle, not being any type of name or title in the body of Christ, which we seek for now. And so, you know, and I think about him. I say to myself, I said, that dude had to be packing some power. God had to put some power in that dude to lay hands for to do the work of Apostle Paul. But on the course of time, when Ananias received that word to go to the roll call straight, there's one who's waiting, you know, by the name of Saul of Tarsus, because he's got a great work with me. Ananias kind of went to the physical part of it. He said, this man has caused us great distress among the ministry. But like with anything else, when Samuel laid hands on David, he never looked at the fact of the physical structure. It's whenever God called you to do a work. And I like the way Apostle James Kickard said this. When you look at Jeremiah, you really think about the revelation and the information that comes through the book of Jeremiah. When Jeremiah said, before I was formed, and I heard him speak this word, and it just really registered in my spirit so strong, it just shook me to the core. He said, before, when you look at Jeremiah 1 and 5, he said, before I formed you in the womb, look at here, he said, I knew you. Before you was born, sanctified or I ordained you to be a prophet before the nation. Look at this. I heard Dr. Kickard say this. He said, before God even laid a word in the book of Genesis, God knew what you was going to go through in the era and season that you were born into, before a tree was planted, before a beast of the earth, before Adam and Eve come in the midst of the garden. God said, I already knew it. The things we deal with and go through is only to shape us and mold us, as he did with Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 18. God said, I'm going to do with you what I see fit. When man begins to take on his own frame of what he wants to be, then it's disaster. If I be lifted up, the word of God said, he said, I will draw all men unto me. The word said that greatness is in you. It's already there because I created it in you. Man, and hear me when I say this, the word of God goes back to the book of Numbers 23:19-21. He makes it very strong about he's not a God that he should not lie. He says he's not a son of any piece of a flesh or man that he should have to repent. God's commandment is a commandment to bless him. He cannot reverse it. Go back to Jeremiah 1 and 5. You was already ordained, designed, prophesied, and engineered to be whatever it is that God told you you're going to be. Now, when you got men who are in leadership in the body of Christ and you as an individual, and I'm going to put in a sports sense for people can get a good clarity of this, because I want this. Great athletes are already born with gifts in them, but they need mentorship and people to bring what's into them out of them. So when God prophesied and spoke a word over you before you were born, it doesn't matter what the woes, circumstances, situations, illness, issues is going on in your life. If God set the course for your Psalms 23, then you're already up in the middle of what God called you to be. Despite of the proclivities, despite of the problems, despite of the, God is already moving in terms of what he processed on your life before you was born. He said, despite of the drug addiction, despite of the sexual immoralities, despite of the anger, despite of all these things you go through, God said, I already knew the course. It's when you run over to Jeremiah 1 and 29. He said, but I know the thought. and I know the plan. Listen how he says it. He don't put anybody else in the plan unless he advises them to come in. An athlete only listens to that person that mentors his position on the field. You got a head coach, and it's acting like they're Jesus. I'm putting him like he's Jesus, but he's got the apostles with him, the lineman coach, the defensive back coach, the tight end coach, the offensive coach. But the head always makes the call. So Jesus uses the same scenario with the apostles over in the Great Commission. He tells them, go out. In other words, when I become head and what I'm doing before I was created and born to do the work of the kingdom of God, God said, I already knew the gift in you. Now, this is one of the mistakes we make at some time. We listen to men rather than listen to God. We let men tell us what our giftings are. All the CK, the bubbles. We let men tell us what we are rather than God seeking us and telling us what we should be, because he's the actually one who's moving the puzzles and moving the pawns on the checkerboard or the men on the board. He moves you and does what will he want, but it comes to the command. And when you understand your command is when you understand Matthew 6:33. Most, and I'm going to say this, and I'm not going to hold it back, most people, and I'm going to say that with authority, in the body of Christ, don't know who they are and what their functions of operation really is, because that's somebody has told them what they are. This is why their functions never produce any kind of fruit, because someone told them they was this. Someone told them there was that. Well, your job is to go and take it before God. Look, what is it you have me to do? What is the gift you put in me? So God speaks the same word to Jeremiah. Form, created, designed, engineer. I already know the Psalms 23. It doesn't matter. Whether you wall off course or drug addiction, whether a person goes out doing whatever you know to do that's outside the will of God, God says, it doesn't matter. You already designed to do what I want you to do. As soon as you can turn and hear what I have to say, I'll show you the gift that works in you, and I'll show you the man or woman that I have in the earth to help you in the walk of what you are doing. They can't give you the gift. They help your character, because the gift is already there. Athletes and good athletes fits into a puzzle on a field that can help that team achieve its goal and what it's going to. It's called draft. God drafts you in, not men draft you in. Oh, Charles, you look like a prophet. Oh, Charles, you look like a pastor. I say, no, indeed. You won't get me on that one again. I'm going to go to the one who created me. I'm going to go to the one who designed me. And if I lift him up, then he's going to show me whatever it is he put in me, because he told me in the word. Before you was born, I knew what I had called you to be. Not what man says, but what I said. And when I put my gift in you, I know how to spread your wings and let you operate in that every office and that you're in. When you go falsely into an office, you'll never see the producing of a fruit manifesting. And this is why I look at your ministry. I know the healing ministry is in your ministry. I know the power of revelation is in your ministry. I see it. I feel it, because I don't hang out with a lot of people. I don't go around to a lot of people. It doesn't matter what their name, position, or whatever it may be. My job is to be just as Jesus said in John chapter 14, believe it not that I'm in the Father and the Father is in me. If you don't believe me, look here, just watch my work. I can care less about whether you like me or not. Watch the woman with the issue of blood. Watch Brian Barnum and Beta. You understand what I'm saying? His word proves to what he was doing. Most people got the name and they utter a few things. Jeremiah never uttered words through his imagination. He literally heard from God. And when he literally heard from God, then the produce, in other words, he was out of water and like a fish. You put in order, I heard Dr. Mike Murdoch speak like that. When you're a fish out of water, you're just flopping. But when you're rolling and emerging your gift, you put a fish in water, his genealogy expands. He's designed to swim. But as long as you're out of water, you're just flopping. We got so much in the day and time now that we really got to be careful for, because the word of God did tell us in the last days, these false things will rise. And doesn't matter how good a word may tickle your ears, watch the performance. And that's what an athlete, we drafted you to play that position, to be number one in that position. If you can't produce that position, guess what? We're sending you out. We got to get somebody who can fulfill that role. And we got a lot of roles in the body of Christ that's not been fulfilled in what it said it can do. It becomes performance. And that's what's killing a lot of things in the body in terms of what it should be, because everybody wants titles and nobody wants to be servants anymore.
That brings us right back full circle what I was saying a minute ago.
Exactly.
I believe that if you want to see the power of God manifested in your ministry. You must have a servant's heart. You must understand that you are the least of everybody. Everybody else is more important. We must lift up other people. You know, James Cathcart had that same conversation with me that he had with you. And he did. And I love it. I mean, James is my mentor. He's my friend. He's my little brother. He is one of the, I can't tell you how much I love that man. I just love him.
Yeah. Amen.
And I never really used a title up until the point he affirmed me as an apostle. At that point, I started using the title apostle. I didn't use it before. Mm-hmm. Because if that man of God says, God told me to affirm you as an apostle, I believed him.
That's what it is. The same thing with Timothy. I mean,
yep.
James, Dr. Cathcart, Apostle James, Dr. Cathcart, saw the gift as same as Paul saw the gift in Timothy. He didn't give Timothy the gift. Lois and Paul and Timothy, they knew what was. See, he was already in operation. Paul just saw it operating. So what did he do? Like what James, Dr. James Cathcart did, he confirmed it. He didn't give it to you. And his job is to guide the gift and make sure it's going to produce the type of fruit. It's the same thing with an athlete. If I'm drafted, they are designed to get what they need to get out of me in my times and my debuts, to get out of me what's in me. They see the gift. So I got to pay very close to the coaches. And this is why I tell, you know, a lot of times, you know, faith is not easy. It's a work. Most people say, oh, you got to have faith. Oh, you don't understand. You don't understand. You may have a point to what I understand. But whenever the enemy comes in your backyard, you really got to use what faith is. Like what happened with you and your son. See, he tried to throw a blow. He shot one across your bow with your son.
Sure did.
Because of the work you're doing. And that's the process, a part of the work. The word of God says over, I think it's Luke 9:22, Jesus declared a word to his disciples. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. Now notice how he compares it. He said, the Son of Man must suffer many things. So there's things going to come at him. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, the Sanhedrin. So even as a man of God yourself, things are going to come at you, but in the process of what you're making full circle with, you got brothers like Dr. Apostle James Cathcart, you got myself, you got other great men and women God around you. It's like your molds, they hold your hands up. We hold each other's hands up because we know the work is great in this season. It's a great work. It's tremendous pressure when you get it. If you've ever been in the championship playoff or anything, pressure is unbelievable. I've been there. It's amazing the type of aroma or room you feel with the pressure to perform and to be number one in that seat. It's tremendous pressure. And I'm quite sure with guys in the Army and services, and they go before the front line, begin to face the enemy, the thing is rattling in their head. Am I going to come out? But if I've trained and understand when I'm in combat, I'll come out of this successfully if I follow the instructions. I think Dr. Cathcart can talk a lot about that, too.
Yes, he can.
Ex-Marine. I mean, you know, because he understands the process of battle. And this
word
is a battle. It's a battle.
He has gone through battles. And I've known him for years. He has gone through some battles. But he is he's an amazingly humble man loves the Lord. And all he wants, he has that same attitude I have. I just want to serve.
Amen. That's it.
And that's what makes him a great apostle.
Yeah.
You know, there's absolutely nothing superfluous about him. He is, you know, back in the early days of computers, they had a thing called WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. And he's definitely
Ain't no sugar coating, as they say. There's no sugar coat up in this. I mean, things that we gotta, I mean, you know, where we are as men and women of God in the body of Christ, and, you know, like you, Apostle, you know, my greatest walk with Christ, and I can say this truly, not just walking in the offices of the apostle and the apostolic faith, but my greatest run in the ministry has been evangelism. I can tell you how powerful the office of evangelism is. It's amazing. Now, they say apostles supersede. I understand that four to fivefold. But the work of evangelists, if you understood the work of evangelists, the things that you have, I only deal with partial things, going out, you know, having to deal with facing, talking to gang members, facing switchblades, facing guns, dealing with issues and things of that nature in terms of having your life been threatened, you know. It amazes me that I had to continue to keep going on. And that's the gift that God has in you, despite of your ups and downs, despite of your woes, despite of your, it's something in you that drives you. And it's not based on the position of the fivefold. It's just something you have an urge for souls. And I understand Jesus Christ now. When he said the word in John chapter 14, he said, look, I know the opposition. I know I'm going to suffer some stuff. I got to suffer some stuff through the hands of men, these governors. They want to see me die, but they don't understand. They push me to the greatest revelation that would ever unfold. I'm going to die. But when I come up out of here, I'm going to have all power. I'm going to defeat death. So whatever circumstance, whatever issue, whatever problem you're dealing with, if you believe and know who I say I am, I will. Not might, I will set you free. Is there anything too hard for you to do? So when we move forth, we do the work of God, his evangelism, and I was going out, I will go out on my own, just pass out 1,000 flyers or 2,000. I'll be gone all afternoon. My wife, as it was, I was kind of new in my marriage. That was the most humblest state in my wife's life. That's why she's blessed now. We're blessed because she took time out of an early part of my marriage and knew that what I was doing was a work for the kingdom, and she stood by that. You know, when you're young in marriage, you got mutual wives. You want to hang out with them. You're young, you know, and everything. You're spending time when you're getting to know them. But me, I was out there running in different avenues, South Dallas, East Dallas, West Dallas, going to different areas, handing out flyers, going to people's doors, people spitting at me, sicking their dogs on me, calling me all kind of words. You'll find out how the world really is and how your test is when you come before people. This is why I'm not walking to Walmart centers or anything. I'd be quick to throw a card at anybody. They throw it on the floor. Hey, throw it on the floor. Somebody else is going to pick it up. Because when one denies you, another will pick it up. So evangelism was a very strong process in my ministry. I never, even though I wanted to, I never had a feeling. And I had some great churches. I never felt about comfortable dwelling inside the walls. It was something. I was a nature guy. I had great ministries. I raised up great churches and things like that. But it was something that always was tugging at my heart. This is not what you're supposed to be. I mean, you're supposed to be out. I called you to go out. And I always understood that being an athlete, working out, like what, it was something about getting out in the wind and passing out flyers, speaking to the people about the word of God, seeing the different woes, ups and downs, proclivities, situations that people go. You never really experience ministries until you get into evangelism and you hear and see the things that's going on the outside these walls. You got to get out these walls.
Amen.
You got to get out these walls.
Yeah, you know, I praise God. I'm so thankful that he's put me in a healing ministry. And I've seen so many miracles.
Hallelujah.
Now, I thought about it. I know there's people out there that's never seen one miracle. You know, in this past year alone, I've seen well over 700 miracles. But
wow.
The greatest
Amazing.
Miracle of all, and I tell this to people all the time, I thank God he touched your body. I thank God he healed you. I thank God that you are better today because he intervened. But the greatest miracle of all is salvation.
Yes.
These healings, they're temporary.
Yes. Yes.
They don't last forever. You go to die.
No, they don't.
You're going to die sooner or later.
Yeah.
But salvation is the greatest miracle of all because it's an eternal miracle.
It's eternal.
It transforms a person from going to hell to going to heaven.
Come on, somebody.
We
come
are
on.
Supposed
come
to
on.
Build the kingdom. And this is a great segue right here. And I usually do this myself, but I'm going to call upon you because you have that evangelist spirit. Would you please, sir, offer the prayer of salvation for those who are
always, Father,
don't know Jesus
always.
To know what this man of God's got to say.
You know, for everybody who's on the line, everybody's listening, it wasn't by accident that you're here. And in the midst of the turmoil, the circumstances, the situation, the word of God decreed and declared, he knew the work that he put in you. He knew what he designed and engineered you to be. despite of what the world may think about you. The Word of God wants you to step out. So, Father God, we ask you, Father God, by the power and the manifestation of your Holy Spirit, move up and down. Let the power of your Word begin to convict, alarm that which is in the individual or that particular person which you designed in the earth, then bring forth the flourishing of that gift, that they may go out and continue to do all that you declared them to be. Father God, let them not be hasty to the point of denying the fact of what you put in them, but understanding through the ministration of the power of the four winds of the Holy Spirit, I command the Word to be engrafted into their hearts and their minds, to let them go out and continue to move forward with the spirit of salvation, knowing that what's on them, they got to receive to go out to everyone else. Father, I ask you to save them, move them, Father God, by the power of your hand, by the power of your spirit, by faith, everything and all things are possible. Father God, you created them to do a work. You designed them to be a prophet before your nation. Father God, get that word in them that they may go forth and do all you commanded them to be. Father God, for those who are lost and outside the will of God, Father God, bring them in immediately in the name of Jesus. Turn them around, not a 360, but a 190, to move in the opposite direction, that they know the call in life is really more than what they can see. Whatever condition, whatever situation they be going through, we lift it and we set it down in the name of Jesus. We command by the authority of the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit to wrap your hands around that individual who's going through a sickness, who's going through a disease, who's going through a proclivity in their life. Father God, let them believe and understand the word according to Psalms 46, that you are very present help in the very present time of need. I command the word of salvation to fall in the midst of their heart, that they may continue to lift up with the gift you're putting them, knowing to you, Father God, that everything and all things are possible. Let the blood of the power which you shed on the cross for the remission of sin be lifted off them in such a way, Father God, that they may indwell in them, Father God, that they may truly know the veins and the very blood that runs through their veins are given to them from you. And it's you only alone, Father God, will lift them out of whatever proclivity may be in. You said, is there anything too hard for you to do? Father God, you ask them to open their mouth, Father, that they may know the word of God. What say about the word of God near you in your mouth? Let them confess and believe in their heart that they're saved, sanctified, filled with the precious power of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we ask you for the release in the name of Jesus, and send them out as a soldier with the word of salvation in their heart and their spirit, that they may clearly know and understand you are in divine control over their life. I command the word of salvation to fall upon them in such a way, Father God, it be like dew, that it will never come off, but it instruct them in the direction which you designed them to be. These things, I don't even speak of myself because I don't even know them, but it's through the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit they may receive that which you have given them in their life as they go forth to be all that you commanded them to do. In Jesus' mighty name, I plead the blood on every word that it will go forth and it shall and will not go back forth, but it goes to every part of the third heaven that they may accomplish through all that therein. In Jesus' name I pray, Lord. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen. Thank you. You know, we haven't gotten on the topic at all today, have we?
Well, that's the Holy Spirit. I mean, that was the Holy Spirit. That's what we talk about, the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's pretty much the Holy Spirit. That's what happened.
That all, yeah.
The Holy Spirit moved. Yeah.
I remember back when I was pastor in a church. You know, I'm not one of those pastors who have, you know, 7 points and, you know, 10 sub points and all that, all this.
No.
You know, I don't have that. I don't do that. I've always just prayed and walked in, and then whatever the Holy Ghost gave me is what the Holy Ghost gave me. And I've heard some really awesome sermons. And I used to look at my church and go, hey, I'm hearing this for the first time too. You know, I remember one sermon where, he said, don't put God in a box. God says, the only thing in a box is a dead body. I'm like, whoa. That's powerful.
Uh-oh.
That's powerful. But, you know, God has always moved. I don't know how to put this. He is everything to me. And all the things I have experienced in serving him, I still stand in absolute awe of him on a daily. I am in awe of the things that he does. I mean, I love watching miracles. I absolutely love it. I have fun serving God. I get excited. You know, yesterday we had this woman, first person on is a woman who she's a mother of a woman that I had just recently led to Christ. And she also went through deliverance, and she's trying to share with her mom all the things that Jesus is doing, and her mom's being a naysayer.
you know. Mm. And she's just being negative on everything that this girl was saying. And I told the girl, I don't care if it's your mama, your cousin, or the neighbor next door. Don't be concerned about what other people think and what other people say. That's a trick of the enemy.
Amen. Amen.
He's constantly, I mean, you know, the Bible says how he, you know, immediately Satan comes to try to steal. God is. And, but yesterday morning, this same naysayer came on our program.
Mm-hmm.
And got instantly healed live on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And Pastor Mike Johnson warned her, be careful. The devil's going to come in and try to tell you it didn't happen. The devil's going to come in and try to put those symptoms back on you. And you're going to and you're going to have to choose to believe God or the symptoms.
Yeah,
well,
I don't believe.
Exactly what happened yesterday afternoon. You know, all that pain's come back. Oh my God, God did not heal me. And I told her daughter to just tell her, you gotta make up your mind who you gonna believe. Mike warned you that would happen. Now this morning, while we were talking, I got a message from her while we were on the air. And it said, hey, Mom said the pain and soreness are completely gone. This morning, praise be to God. In America, she decided to believe Jesus. And
my God,
you know, and little things like that just absolutely blows me away. You know, here's a woman who is a naysayer who today is like, praise God, okay, there is something to what this man is teaching and saying, you know, because I just got healed. You know, and I just love serving God. And I know I've said that before, and I don't mean to be redundant, but some things are worth repeating. So I'm going to say it again. I love serving God. Because serving Him is not a burdensome thing. It's not a hard thing to do. You know, you just get to the point of, as I tell people, you can have faith, but there's also a point where you know in your knower, and there's no doubt. And when there is absolutely no doubt, God moves mightily. He absolutely moves mightily because, you know, in James, the book of James, it says that, you know, I always say that doubt is a form of unbelief. But in James, it says that doubt is being double-minded. And if you're double-minded, you can't expect anything from God. That's what it says in James. You know? So we must learn to know that God is who He says He is. We must know that God's going to do what He says He's going to do. We must know that He is our Savior. He's our King. He's our Deliverer. He's our healer. And most of all, He's our friend. You know, there's a song out called, I Am a Friend of God. I love that song. He knows my name. He's my friend. He knows your name. He's your friend. I know He's your friend. Okay, because I've listened to a lot of your programs too. I might not always tell you about it, but I do. For one thing, you send me these links and that makes me listen. But you know, your ministry is pretty powerful, Charles. It really is. And I thank God that our paths crossed. I don't even remember how they crossed, but I'm thankful they did. You know what I mean?
It had to cross because that's what the Holy Spirit designed it, because He's add fuel to His team. I mean, just like you did with Dr. James Kickard, you know, Apostle James Kickard, you know, you talk about that apostle, he had to come across. And this is where you look at the process where God sends people to help anchor your ministry. He knows what He's doing. Even though when you don't think it's moving, God says, I'm already sending people to help bolt this thing down. So whatever storms and winds may come, you won't blow away. You won't blow away because I'm assured that your word is anchored and what I'm doing to you is going to be commanded through me. And I'm not going to lie on what I'm saying. I'm going to do it. And that's the word in Ephesians also. When you look at the book of Ephesians 1:21, he says, far above. And you think about how he says that. He said, far above all principalities and powers and dominion. Now think about it. He said, not only named in this world, but everything that was to come. Every force of the enemy that he can think of, according to the word of Isaiah 55, that 16 verse, that whenever the enemy tries to form any kind of weapon, it's not already defeated according to what it says in Ephesians 1:21. Sickness and disease, whatever name the doctors are coming, doctor, I already know it. But if you believe in me, then I'll deliver you from it. So far above all princes and powers and dominion, not only named in this world, but everything was, he put a lasso around every type of sin that the enemy can think of to try to come into your life. And he said, if you believe it, you deliver it. He's been defeated. And that's the power. But the struggles of going through is our dependent on Christ to bring us through terrible times. Like Paul in the shipwreck, going to Motra. Total different story when you're in your Motra. You got to unload some things when you. I spend more time, men of God, praying than reading. People sounded amazing. But I pray more than I read because I know the word is a letter. And if I just got the letter, it's a part that I need to learn the education of. But the Holy Spirit is the word of God, said Paul speaks in Corinthians. These things only can be discerned through the Spirit because the Spirit searches all things, they're the deepest things of God. So that takes me to be able to prostrate myself and not only just read the letter, quote scriptures, but understand the divine principles and revelations of the four winds of the Holy Spirit that's coming through the word of God and enables me to do the work I'm doing. So I got to depend totally on the Holy Spirit. I can't do anything without him. It's impossible to please God. He's a rewarder for them who diligently seek him. So that's words he give me and you in his book. It ain't in this book. It's a miracle. It's amazing how he tied these things. And this is why we got to be careful in the last day of scriptural quoters. People who knows educational understanding can give you every meaning of what the word of God says. But the divine purpose that intertwines the inside circle of that hidden scripture can only be given to a believer. That's why Jesus spoke to his apostles in parables. He said, for only you to know the mysteries of the gospel. Men know education, but they have no understanding about revelation. So they can quote, speak, and say, but they don't have no idea. So that's just like what, things I hear Dr. Kirkhart say, Apostle Dr. Kirkhart say, and Dr. Darrell Wilson, great man of God in my Apostle Oscar, great. I got some great people around. Solid team. Nobody's flawing anywhere. And that's the same thing with you. You got good people around you? Man, yes. This championship all around you. Let's go get our trophy. Let's go get a devil of black eye today. I just want to beat them just to beat them.
Amen. And it's so true because we're not supposed to walk this walk alone. We are the body of Christ. So we have to take the body with us. And the good thing about it is the Holy Spirit will. The Bible says that we know them by their fruits. We know them by their spiritual fruits. And I've run into people that, and they got it down. They can talk Christianese. They know when to holler. They know when to sit down. They know when to shout. They know when to dance. Got an iota of Holy Ghost power in them.
That's where you come in at. Because you're showing them. You're not just talking. You ever heard the old saying back in the day when we were young? You say, well, I got a good game. I say, we're going to see what you got when you bring it to the court. All that old bumping your gums. You know what I'm saying? Like we say back in the day, the athletes, you bumping your gums, but let's see what you got when you get out on the field, partner. You bring that when you check that stuff out here on the field, then we're going to see what you got. And that's what you really got to do. You got to call it out. And that's the power. See that? See all the Bible say that's the power of the Holy. It calls out hidden forces of the enemy that designed, according to Colossians 14:2-14, the handwriting, the spectacles. He tried to make you a spectacle. He tried to make you a person that don't think you know what you're doing. But your demonstration proves, oh man, God says, show me a man's faith, and I'll show you my works. That's what you're doing.
But
that's your ministry.
But the cool part about it is every believer has the If they know their authority in Christ Jesus, every believer can do what I call show and tell. Okay? Show them the power of God. Tell them about the kingdom. You know, that's what it comes down to. Oh, wait. Jesus did this thing, didn't he? He would show the power of God and then talk about the kingdom. Huh.
Yes, he would.
That'd be a pretty good
example
as well. What do you think?
He'll let you know. I mean, and that's where we are. You know, it's a lot of things going on in the world. Now, the word of the James talks about this. He talks about that. What is it? 1 Corinthians, that third chapter, 18 verse. He said, "Be not deceived. There's a lot of them coming in my name, but they won't perform the work in which I said they would do. They'll say that they sent me, but God said, the false prophets say, but they say, God said, I never sent them." When he said he knows you by the fruit, he goes to John 15, he talks about, okay, we're going to see what kind of vine you're a part of. If you produce the fruit that I may prune you to make more fruit, then you are my worker. But if you're a vine and you produce no fruit, I'm going to cut you and I'm going to throw you in the fire. And they're going to know who you are because I'm going to burn it. Your work will show. You'll find out what's made of. Sometimes you got to put a person on check. And that's why I see a lot of great men of God around me. They don't check you in a negative way, but they check your work. And they watch your work. They say, okay, sounds good. It looks good. How was those commercial back in the day? Or was it Memorex? What was that commercial they had? You know, an old kind of sounding commercial. Remember that? Yeah. Is it real or is it Memorex? And then there was one by RCA. He said the quality. You say the name. You say I was at Brothers of Old. He said the quality goes out before the name. Some of the name goes out before the quality. It was something like that. You got to be qualified.
The name goes out.
Yeah. Yeah. That old RCA commercial way back in the day. And that's what we're dealing with right now. You got a lot of stuff out here that is not for us to be able to call out, but we all need to say it because we're going to see it. Yes, I'm going to show you what that is like. I'm going to show you who I'm like. He's going to prove to you whatever's around you. He's going to reveal because of the work. Because of the work you got to do, Ken. Lord, in the name of Jesus, even as I speak to the man of God, Lord, let it be a rushing wind of the four winds of the Holy Spirit. And as they begin to move on this man of God's ministry, let it separate, set down every tear that's trying to stop him from going forth. I stand the word of God is healing on his body, that he have more strength now than he ever thought he would have because of the work and the pursuit he has to do in the kingdom of God. I command the staff, Father God, that anything that's out of place, you put it in place. Move that out what need to be moved that you may enter in for the work that he has to do because the battle is rough. But you have covered him to do the work in which you commanded him to do. Father God, lift him up. Put him in the whirlwind of the Holy Ghost. Let him receive the four winds of the Holy Spirit as he begin to move forth with unsearchable words in the Spirit that he may know and understand that through you, Father God, that everything and all things has already been made possible. Father God, even in his life, Father God, whatever the proclivity, whatever the subvert may be, whatever the problem be, I command by the authority of the power and the presence of the illumination of the soul of the ministry, Father, of the Holy Ghost, that it be released. And everything that he needs in this ministry, Father God, I'll call manna from heaven in the form that he may need, that the ministry will continue to expand with unparalleled moves. In the name of Jesus, I speak expansion. I ask you, let him strengthen his stakes and spread out. Not will he go here anytime soon, but he will continue to expand. I ask you to touch his son in the midst of where you are. Father God, you've made the heart, you created the heart, you designed it. Lord, I'm asking you to give him the vows that he needs that he may function back in the area in the work that you're doing him, Father God. Be preceded by his father that he may know and understand the work in his life is more than what he can see. Father God, even as he lay there, Father God, let him be like Paul in the midst of a roll call straight, that he will clearly come out of this situation with a power of understanding to know he's got to supersede the work of his father, despite of whatever the enemy may have to say. I command his words from the Spirit, and I command it upon his life and in his life and everything around his life to be protected, Father God. And finances healed in the name of Jesus. When I say healed, that money will come from every direction in the name of Jesus. Fulfill that ministry. All the men and women God is in the ministry, touch them and give them the ability to understand that he is the chief shepherd to do the work that you called him to do, that he may know and understand in his life. And the work you command him to do will continue to go forth. Heal his body in every area. Whatever he may need, Father God, provide for him on this day. You said you are very present help in a very present time of need, not tomorrow, not next week, but you said you are right now, God. Receive what he needs and give him in his hands that he may continue to do the work that you called him to do. These things I don't speak of myself, but through the power of the illumination, of the power of the winds of the Holy Spirit, I call it to be effective now. not tomorrow, right now in his life.
Amen.
In the name
and
of
amen.
Jesus Christ of Nazareth, I pray, Lord. Man, woman,
I hate to interrupt you, Charles, but we're out of
no,
time.
No,
that's
fine. Let's go.
God bless you. But we got to go.
God bless you too, man.
Thank you so very much. God be blessed and be blessed and be a blessing.
Yes.
We'll talk to you next
time.
Yes.
You have been listening to the Healing Light Show with your host, Ken Burrow. Prayerfully consider supporting this ministry. To donate, go to the Healing Light Radio Show on Facebook, where you will find a link to donate. Thanks for listening. Be blessed and be a blessing.